Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for this year. We thank you for your people here today. Your people whom you have called. Great people, Father God. As Solomon said, your great people, Father, whom you have chosen. And I thank you, Father, for they are seated here today to hear your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a direction this year. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, everything that you give here this year, Lord, is for a purpose to fulfill the destiny of every one of us in our lives. That you will decide, you have decided to start fulfilling the destiny of our lives. We thank you, Lord, this year is a year of fulfillment for many of us. Thank you, Jesus. We are putting us in the right direction. Let every word that comes out, Lord, will be, Lord, today will be from you. Let my lips and my tongue, my mind, my heart, everything be, Lord, conformed to your will, Father. Let every word that comes out be your word. Nothing shall, Lord, to glorify man, but only to glorify you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Last week, how many of you remember the message? A short message. Very short message. How many of you remember? Lord, have mercy on me. Last week, we used John chapter 1, verse 34 to 41. Is that right? 38 to 41. And what it says? And John and Andrew, when they met up with Jesus, and Jesus spoke, and after that, what he says? John the Baptist said, this is the Lamb of God. And after that, what did he say? He asked, where do you stay? Right? Where do you stay? Where do you stay is important in our life, because where Jesus stayed is important for them. For them to analyze whether this is the man of God. Is this the Christ? It's important. So staying is important. Your family is important. I'm just giving an outline of what. Your family is important. Where do you live with your family is important. If the family must be nurtured well, the family should nurture the children well. Christians should have a good family. So it starts from the family. Oh, I'm sending them to Sunday school. I'm sending them to church. It's okay. The pastor will take care. And those people who are volunteering, they will take care of my children and they will bring them up. No! Jesus, when the first time, the first disciple joined Jesus Christ and he asked him, where do you stay? Right? Why? Because you have to know, you have to summarize, you must sum up Jesus Christ first before he went. And the word of God says further, it says they stayed a little bit longer and then they followed him after that. The word of God, they stayed with him to understand him. Then after that, they followed him throughout their life. They gave their life to him. Andrew, after that, went and looked for his brother, Peter. Go back and read the passage and you'll understand. So what he says, follow me, your family is important. Starts with the family. Amen? Starts with the family. Amen. So today I'm going to talk about a little bit more about what, I want to go to King 1 Kings. I want to talk about a disciple. A disciple. What does a disciple do this time? I'll finish within half an hour, so that at least you all have some time today. If you see 1 Kings, chapter 18, you will find the word of God says there was three people in this kind of scene. Scene number one, you'll find Elijah's name is mentioned. Then you'll find that Elijah had a purpose this time to see the king Ahab. Right? And then he called upon Obadiah. Is that right? Can you follow? Are you there with me? Are you there with me? If you're not there with me, you'll find the passage you'll read. You can read out from you'll see verse 3 and verse 7 itself. He was called, you know? Alright? He called Obadiah because the word of God says to Elijah, he was the man in chapter 17. He said there shall be no rain until the word from his mouth comes out. And this time, and after he's been outside and tended to the woman and a widow, he came back now. The Lord says, go back now. There shall be rain when you speak. You remember? Okay. Now what happened here? Obadiah, you'll find, he was called and he was in a journey and suddenly he met with Elijah. The word of God says, is that my Lord Elijah? Can you read that word? Is that word rare with you? Can somebody read? Is it really you, my Lord? Brothers and sisters, if you read about him, Obadiah, a little bit, you'll understand Obadiah was a man in the government of the Ahab's kingdom. He was a man of high ranking. He took care of the entire house of Ahab. Just like Joseph took care of Pharaoh's house entirely, this man took care of the entire household of Ahab. And this man was a righteous man. Right? He was a righteous man. The word of God says he was a righteous man. Now, why are you being discipled? Number one, you'll find when this man saw Elijah, he said, "Is it you, my Lord?" Surely this man, Elijah, was discipling Obadiah in the righteous way. Is that right? They are not strangers. Obadiah would have been a disciple of Elijah. So he has taught him. When Elijah was not there, when Jezebel started, you read the passage, you'll go back and read, understand, I'm just giving you because of time constraint. You go back and read the passage, you'll find Obadiah has separated prophets and kept aside. I want you to bring back memory that the man who was teaching prophets, school of prophets, was Elijah. Do you follow what I'm saying? Elijah was teaching prophets. And you'll find that also in King 2. And you'll find also what he did, Elisha also did. He had a school of prophets. They follow you. Go back and read the two kings, both the kings, and you'll understand what I'm saying. So he was disciple. Obadiah was disciple. And what did he do when the time of Jezebel time? He preserved the prophets and kept them in caves. Am I getting it right now so far? Are you getting me? Number one, a disciple's job is to, number one, is train for him and to him. Amen. For whom? For him, Jesus Christ, for God, and to him. A disciple cannot be on his own. To be discipled by somebody to serve the master alone. It's not to serve the master, but the master is not Elijah, the master is God. Amen. So you are supposed to, for him and unto him. So when he did, when Elijah was absent, what did Obadiah do? He preserved the prophets. You're supposed to preserve the things that have been taught to you and keep continually going so that nothing shall be lost in the kingdom of God. What has been given to you, you will not lose it. That's first of all, a disciple is to, for him. Whatever you do is for him. Amen? Do you follow what I'm saying? Hello? Number two, you'll find in Elisha, in Kings, 2 Kings, you'll find, when, sorry, 1 King, chapter 19, when Elijah met up with Elisha this time. What did he do? He threw his mantle. And immediately after, what did he say? He ran after him, and he said what? Let me go and kiss my family first. And he went after that. You see, there are a lot of things I can talk about on that, because he has got 12 oxen there. We talk about oxen, 12 oxen, what it means. But let's take the gist of it today for discipleship. When he went and slaughtered the oxen and gave it to a feast, and he came back after that. Is that right? And he followed him. A disciple after that follows the master. The master was, although Jesus Christ was not there at the time, but master is still God. Jesus Christ is the master. But Elijah was an instrument to groom this man up so that he can see who the master is. So that he will do the works continuously for God and will continuously do the things God has called him to do. So that is why he was groomed. If Elijah was still sitting there and he was not following Elisha was sitting there and still going, tending to the fields, he would not become a disciple. Because he followed him of obedience. His response was, after the mantle was thrown, there was an obedience upon what was given to him. So a disciple has got to have obedience, number one. And you'll find, until the last day when Elijah was taken up, you go back and check it out, taken up into heaven, he was still with him. Elisha was still with him. So there was obedience to learn more and more about the God that Elijah prayed to. Amen? So discipleship is called for us today to disciple others, not for us, for him and to him. Amen? If somebody says, I'm a disciple of Pastor James, that's no. I went to Indonesia recently. You know, the discipleship of so-and-so, you know, he comes here and preaches. I said, Lord, anybody disciples must not be the name of that man, but should be the name of Jesus Christ. No man can disciple another man without God. Jesus must be present there to disciple. I can talk to you until the cow comes home and my tongue goes to the floor and sweeps the entire floor of this church. You will not change if Spirit of God does not move in you. If God was not here, none of the hearts can be moved. Amen? Amen to that? Amen? So it's because of God that is... So you are being discipled for Him and to Him. Amen? So first principle of a disciple is to be discipled, not to glorify the person who's discipling you, but to glorify Him. That who we are being discipled for. What are we being discipled for? Chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 18 and 20. You all know this by heart. How many of you all don't know this by heart? What's that? Chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all, baptizing. Father, can you speak loud, please? I'm loud enough. A Father and a Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You are discipled for, not for yourself, but for His mission. Amen? If I'm discipled by somebody, a sister came along, a pastor came along in my life, crossed my path, and during the time she crossed the path, she threw the mantle of Christ Jesus upon me and accepted Christ Jesus, there was a discipling taking place because it is not her, but it's the person who spoke to me about of Christ Jesus, and that tickled my spirit man, and the spirit man accepted it and said, yes, I receive Him, and that a mantle was thrown, and the mantle was received, and with reciprocation, I followed for a while. For the physical mentor. So I do not know the word of God. Somebody must teach me. Is that right? Though the Holy Spirit will teach me, somebody must guide me first. So that's how I started off discipling. That's all discipleship is all about. Number one, not to serve that person, but to serve Him. Amen? So the serving of Him, His mission is to go forth and disciple others. So that the kingdom of God can be spread in this world. So that people's heart will receive the kingdom of God. It's man and woman has got to receive the kingdom of God. The Our Father says that, let the kingdom of yours come down. Where does it come? Let it be on earth. Can be where it can be on earth? Unless it is in your heart first. Amen? If you don't receive the Jesus Christ here, His kingdom, you will not be able to spread the word of God. The kingdom. You cannot operate in the kingdom of God. This year is a year of the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. This year is a year of the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. Establishing. So He will establish every one of us. Start fulfilling in the kingdom of God. So be prepared and open your heart and see what God has got for us. Open your spirit man. Open your mind out. So what God has got for you. Amen. So we have to understand, unless you open, unless you reciprocate to the calling of Christ Jesus, you cannot respond to the things that He wants to. So first of all, He says that this great apostle is apostolic. Mission is given to every one of us. Evangelistic mission, apostolic mission for all of us to do is to go and disciple to others. The mark of a disciple is number one. He abides in the word of God, word of Jesus Christ, the words of Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, 31. Can somebody read out quickly from there? John chapter 8, verse 31. Quick.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.
Amen. Abiding in His word is important, number one. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ if you do not know the word of God. Abide in His word. What is His word? How many of us know the word of God? How many of us read as a Christian? I, as a Christian, not a Christian, born again, but I was a Christian before, called a Christian, but I never saw the Bible. I saw the Bible up there, and I only venerate to the Bible. Every day morning, every day evening, we venerate the Bible. But we don't have anything else. We don't open the Bible. It's still dusty every year. Once a year, on before Christmas, we'll open it and then we'll just dust it all around. Inside is still new. Is that what we are supposed to be called to be? Hello? The truth is, I did that before. Many years. Never read the Bible. We know that it's the Word of God. The Word of God is my house. So it's good that we can just have the Word of God in my house. I'm so happy because the Word of God has come to my house. But there was no change in the heart. Because why? The Word of God is not inside it. Was not abided by the Spirit inside it. By the soul and the Spirit. Amen. The soul does not abide in Him. Unless the Word of God comes into us, we cannot call ourselves to be disciples. That's the reason why you have to read the Word of God every day. Amen? Amen? So the homework is 8 days, but after this you'll have very easy, every day, once a day. And you'll know the Word of God. At least something will come into your spirit, man. And the Word of God will cleanse you and bring you. And you will abide in the Word of God. What is abiding in the Word of God? To understanding the Word. And abiding means to be inside the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God will dwell in you. And you will dwell in the Word of God. And the Word of God will reform you to what God wants you to be. Christ-like. Amen? In order for us to be Christ-like, we have to know the Word of God. Amen. Number one. Number two. It also requires us to become the doers. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 27. Can somebody quickly read? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 27. Five verses. Quick. Amen. We have to do the will of the Lord. It says do. It didn't say just listen. He said do. We can listen the word, but we don't do the word. So you must be doers. You see, what happened is in Elisha and Elijah, he was a doer. Elijah, when he threw the mantle, he was a doer. Immediately, what he did was, he went and slaughtered the oxen so that, you know what? When you slaughter the oxen means you don't come back to the same job again. He doesn't come back again. He slaughtered oxen and all those things that he had, all those wooden things that was around there, he used them to burn it and he finished the entire job of his. He turned back, he never turned, back again to the former job. In our life, when we become a doer, we will leave the past, leave the past ways and become new ways, go into a new way in Christ Jesus. Amen. As doers, as Elisha did the other day, we have to burn off everything. Burn off everything in the past. Put it on fire. And then you come and serve God. Many of you will ask me, Pastor, you're asking me to become full-time worker. I'm not asking you to become full-time worker. Why I read, first of all, chapter 18 of the Kings just now, is because Obadiah was still working and doing the work of God. Hello? His responsibility is so great. He's in charge of the whole house. He must know everything what's happening in the household of Ahab. Ahab's kingdom was big that time. He has to please Jezebel also. And yet, he did the work of God daily. He fed the prophets and still walked righteously. Hello? Can you go back and read King 1 Kings chapter 18. You'll understand what I'm saying today. You see, he still worked for Ahab. At the time when Elijah met Obadiah, he was actually working. He was searching for green pastures where they can feed the cattle and the horses. So they don't have to slaughter any one of them. So even in your job, wherever you are in, you still can continue doing the work of God if you are desirous to do the work of God. If you just are a hearer, and here, I'm happy I came for a message to say, it is nice, I don't like the pastor because he's talking too much and he's winding around everywhere. But anyway, I just went and did my duty. I sat in the church, I'm happy because the Spirit of God is there and I went back to work. So that is sitting. That's not doer. Sitting is equivalent to sleeping. Because you're resting. Doers do not rest. Doers move forward. Hello? So Jesus is asking us to become doers. We can hear the word of God. We don't do what he asks us to do. We can still be not called a disciple. Hello? Am I getting right? So we must be doers in the things that God speaks us. Every word that we abide in, so also we must be doer. We listen to it. No, it doesn't work. We must be doers. So unless you are a doer, then you are qualified as a disciple. Every disciple he had, the 12 of them, the 120 of them who are in the upper room in chapter 1 of book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 3, you'll find, all of them were doers. They were praying together in one accord. When the Holy Spirit came, they became speakers. They went out to do something. Philip went round because there was persecution. Philip ran down south to Samaria. And on the way, God still used him. He was a doer. He didn't say, what? Am I going to do this wife? Who's eunuch? I don't want to see a eunuch. He didn't say that. He did what God wants him to do. So being abiding in the word of God is not the only thing. I'm gloating in the, oh, I know the word of God. I know it by heart, man. But a fingertips, I know. You tell me which one verses, which I can't remember sometimes. Which verses? He'll tell you. But are you a doer? If you abide in the word of God, you surely will become a doer of the word of God. Amen? Amen? Hello, am I speaking to some people here? Amen? So we have to be a disciple. In order to be a disciple, all were doers. His disciples followed him. Go back and check. I preached about it again. In Mark, I preached. You know, he sent out the 72. 72 by 2. Right? He sent them out to go and do work. They were doers. They didn't say, no, Jesus, today I don't have the money to go out. No, today I'm a bit lazy. Today I want to sleep a little bit, lay back. No, today I'm too busy with fishing. Today I cannot go out. Or I'm too busy collecting money today from a tax, as a tax collector. I cannot go out. There's 70 of them went out and still did the work of God. They heard him, and the word was inside in them, and they went out to do the work of God. Amen. So you must be a doer. Number 3. Disciple would not fail. If you have these 2 things, number 1, to abide in the word of God, and to be the doer of God, word of God, you must be, number 1, study the word of God. You will not fail studying the word of God. The word of God will become something in your life. It becomes practical. It's like what you eat every day, like food. It becomes automatic, isn't that right? When it becomes lunch is there or the breakfast is there, you know what to do is eat it. Same way, it will become natural for us. Willing to refrain from the opportunities from studying. If there is an opportunity that comes and blocks you from studying the word of God or knowing the word of God, refrain from it. Ayo, this is something very great, huh? How to refrain? I've got a great appointment now with the Queen of England. And suddenly I have to come here for Bible study. Oh, yo, which is more important? Queen of England came all the way from England. And she's having a party. And I'm invited for it. Which is more important? The Queen is more important. I must cancel this Bible study and go to the Queen. Tea party. She gives high tea, you know. She doesn't give dinner or lunches. Heightish. If you would have seen, those of you that attended Alpha course, you would have seen, I'm just depicting of one of the incident which was mentioned in Alpha course. This person was supposed to have a tea with Queen Elizabeth, but she forgo to attend the Bible class. God glorified her more than attending the worldly queen or a king. She glorified God by attending the word of God. And things change in her life. You want to know more? Come and attend. We'll start the Bible, Alpha course again. This is just teasers. These are all just, you know, you must have do something, you know. Because we expect to be fat. First of all, put the food on the table. And then take the food and put in a spoon and feed you. Your job is only to chew. That also some of them cannot chew. So we have to make sure we do our job. Do what we have to do. So that we can be part of the kingdom of God. A disciple, second character of a disciple, is to love. One who loves the brethren. You cannot disciple somebody when you don't love. Even the hardest person, my neighbor who can carry the thing right in front of you and every day you'll see the drops there, you still have to love them. Mom, tomorrow also you're doing, huh? Thank you very much. It's an exercise for me, you know, because I don't go into exercise. So that is an exercise. She's giving me exercise, my physical body. All right? Otherwise, I don't have an exercise. I have no choice because I have to cross that path in front of me. And I have, when I open the door, it's an apartment. And I have to see some dots early in the morning, all the whatever they ate last night or two nights ago. I don't know how many days. All right? I have to mop it. So that is an exercise for me. Thank God you're giving me exercise, Lord. Possibly you're asking me to exercise today. Thank you, Lord. I still love my neighbor for giving me exercise. Amen? See how you look at the problem. If you look at a problem as a stinking thing, then it will be stinking. Our life will be stinking. But if you look at the problem as an opportunity for me to exercise, then it becomes goodness in my life. My body becomes better. I'm happy. Can you do more so I can spend more time? Alright? At least my hands are getting better. Alright? So you'll find muscles building in the hands because they're exercised. God says love them. A person who's a disciple cannot disciple somebody if you don't love the disciples. Jesus loved his disciples so much. That is why he taught them. He was able to tolerate even Peter. Among the whole the group, I think Peter was the most guy who did all the ruckus last time. Right? John chapter 13 verse 34 to 35. Can somebody quickly read? John chapter 13 verse 34 to 35. Praise God. Can you speak louder, sister? I don't mind. A new. Amen. Amen. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. So in order to be a disciple of Christ Jesus, in order for us to love some, to be the disciple, to be in the discipleship, we must have what? Love. First, we must abide in the Word of God and be a doer, abiding in the Word of, knowing the knowledge of the Word of God, knowing God, knowing Jesus. And above, second thing, you must love Him. Alright? The more we love them, the better it is. And because the sister is putting out some things every morning, or at night, I don't know when it is done, but somehow or other, I have not seen the person yet. I will look for an opportunity and I tell them, I think, you know, sister, next time, can you put it this way so at least I can mock easier. Sometimes, so angle is difficult, you know. The angle sometimes so difficult, you know, the door, the side, there, difficult to mop. So can you put it a little bit in front? I don't mind mopping that side, easier. You must love the person so that, you know, the salvation of God can come through us. And people will know that you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ because you love. That is why you do. Our discipleship to others should be out of love for Christ and loving others whom Christ loves. Hello? Having love for Christ first and loving those whom Christ loves the way He loves. Amen. So He says, unless and until you have that kind of character, loving people, you cannot disciple. We must have a discipleship heart. In order for us to have a discipleship heart, you must have the love of Christ with us. Love is just not being just saying, I love you, and then tong tong, and go off. That happens to a husband and wife. And then 20 years time later, I'm saying, he's no, all those things, and you'll have a problem. Or 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, I don't know, whatever the number of years. Right? Some fusion will take place. And then whatever, that also doesn't happen. That is not the kind of love. Love is loving the person when it's hard to love. When it's hard to love somebody, you love him or her. That's the best love you found in Jesus Christ. It was hard for him to love me and you before we came to know him. He tolerated us. And the time came, he brought us back into him. He showed his love in Calvary. That love, none of us can show to others. Dying for another person. We can only die in anger every day. Or judgment every day, the judgment that crosses our mind and our anger is death, as Jesus Christ has died on the cross for men, for all of us. Our cross is to die for the judgment we have and the anger we have upon another neighbor of ours. If that takes place, then our love will come up and just bloom out, bloom out, bloom out. Amen? Amen? They said crucify the flesh. It's not crucifying the flesh. It is death of the feelings or your thoughts that keeps you continuously hating another person in life. That when we kill that, then the love of Christ shall be birthed inside us. Amen. Amen. So love of Christ is manifold. By all this, man will know. All will know. Only through love can we show Christ to others. Christ, in the whole scriptures you can find, even the hardest people he came across, adulterous person, there are so many things written about who were the people he attended to. People didn't ask for prayer, and yet he prayed for them. People who didn't ask to be raised, and yet he read that for them. Because out of love, he did that. Out of compassion, he did that. Only one place. He was angry, and he went out. Right? And he took a whip out or something, and then he smashed on the floor, and said, get this out, turn over the tables. Because those people were traditionally, like today, underworld. Gangsters get together, and they will, you know, get the entire area and control the area. Do you know that? You know, sometimes they get together, underworld get together and get. So these people were conspiring with the priest and everybody else to cheat the people. The only way you can show them is anger. Outpouring is anger. But that anger was not an anger to hurt them, but hopefully they saw what he did. That's the only position you can see Jesus has taken a position of anger against these people. He was not against the people, but he was against the things that he was around. They were doing. Right? The table was turned down. What was on the table? The coins they were cheating. Right? What else were there? Kettles. Doves. They were cheating the people. So he was turning those things down. He was angry with those things. He was being cheated. So he was not angry with the people, because the constitution of the people is what he said. It's not anything else, the power of darkness which controls them. So we must understand to love people, even at the worst time that we cannot love them, we must love them. Amen? Amen? Marriages will stay together. Families will stay together. The hardest time we find it difficult to love somebody in a relationship. If you love them, you can keep the marriage. Hello? At that point of time, the family, it's so difficult. If the child is so naughty, we still love the child and reprimand the child the way it's got to be done. Teach the child, things will change. If we do it out of anger, it will only fall back on us. I mean, you try doing something in anger to the teenagers now, and you see what happens to the children, teenagers. Turn around at you. If we do it out of love, out of rational reasoning with them, they will change. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So God is asking us to love. A disciple must have a brethren love, a love for the brethren. And he's always remember that to become a disciple, you must have love. And you know, once to become a teacher, also must have love. To teach somebody else, you also must love. So you want to disciple somebody else, you must also love. And those who are discipled also must have love. Amen? Praise God. The third thing which I will close with today is John chapter 15 verse 8. Can you read? Somebody can read. Loud, please. Very loud. I want you to read because it's good. Don't put it on the screen, brother.
By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple.
Amen. A disciple, Jesus says, must bear fruits. How come I don't have branches? How can I bear fruits? I don't even have a leaf. I only got hair. How can I bear fruits? What kind of fruits he's looking for? A disciple must have a character of Jesus Christ. He bear fruits. There was multiplication wherever he went. He not only multiplied the food, but he multiplied the number from the day that he rose again. From the day from 120, it grew to millions all over the world. He's bearing fruit till today. Hello? So what's our fruit? What's our fruit? Discipleship. Are we bearing the right things of Christ Jesus? What Jesus Christ bore at the time, the love and everything that he did for everybody else. Are we bearing the same fruits? A disciple must have fruits. What is the fruits of yours to disciple? It should start from the family. A family is not only to multiply and multiply, bear fruit. You know, the Indians say, go, multiply, tenfold, twentyfold. So they'll have 20, 30 children. Right? Multiplication is not only in the number of family members. It's about your love and everything else constitutes multiplication. He multiplied the number of disciples he had. And I believe he's got more than anything else when he was around. Multitudes followed him. Today, I believe billion will follow him. Billions. And I believe God is going to increase the number. How are we part of that family growth? How are we part of that family growth? It's not going to have children alone in our family, but to have spiritual children around us. Our fruits are the things that we have in our life. Go back and check it out. What are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Good, good. This testing of the gospel knowledge. Amen. You don't know, you go back and read. You ask me which chapter, I won't tell you. Go back and search the book. You know, go and look for somebody today. Can you teach me where is this book, Pastor said? So you will have a fellowship among you to find out who knows this word. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the same fruit Jesus Christ had. He had long suffering for us, you know. Are you long suffering? It's one of those things we have to carry today in our life. We don't want to carry. We cut people off and people just go off without knowing Christ Jesus because it's the way we behave. It's the way we behave. And I pray this year will be a year of change. A change to take discipleship at heart. Discipleship does start from the church. Discipleship starts from the house. And I pray parents who are Christians will have live a Christian life. I quote again, will live a Christian life, will be true disciples of Christ Jesus, that they can disciple the children the way they should disciple. And we at church as a family, we should behave the way that we have to be discipling others. Unless here in this church here, we learn how to be disciple, discipline ourselves to be disciple of Jesus Christ, only then we can spread our wings to disciple to others in this church. Discipleship hard must be inculcated in us. Obedience, abiding, love, and we are doers. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for today, Lord, that we'll have a heart. Even like Lord Paul said, in Philippians, he said, Lord, 1:21, 20:21, he said, to live is to Christ, to die is Christ. Lord Jesus, we pray we'll have the same spirit of Paul when he said that. Lord, that we will be, Lord, a person who have our discipled to know where we are and what we should do. Lord, grant us a heart of discipleship. We pray, Holy Spirit, today, work in us. Remove the things that will stop us from being a true disciple. A disciple, Lord, will be like a man, like the bull in a bullock cart. A bull that goes as the oxen was in front with a yoke, 12 of them in front of Elisha, and bore all the 12 were laboring the field, plowing the field. So shall we be plowing the field, Lord, that we'll be true bulls there working for your kingdom. A time to come, Lord, that we'll be facing the temple. We are willing to be a sacrifice for the temple, sacrifice for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray to live is to labor for you. To die is to sacrifice for you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, a heart that you give us, Lord. Today is a heart for you. The heart for what you have for us. It's not about how busy we are in our work. even fulfilling the family responsibility of finances, needs of the family. But Lord, help us to make way. Help us to make time that we will be true disciples of yours. Lord, your calling is a tall calling. But Lord, with you we are able. We pray, Lord, today, everything inside us will abide in you. And that you abide in us. And we become doers. And we love our neighbor as you loved every one of them and love us too. That be faithful to your word and true to your kingdom work. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Bless everyone who has come here today, Lord. Let this word, Lord, be embedded in every heart. Let it be a fertile ground today, Lord. Receive the seed so it will grow like a tree planted by the river. And be fruitful in every way. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.